Thank you very much indeed, Colin. It's great to see you all. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your name. Thank you that you are here. We pray that you will open our ears and our hearts and that you'll use my words to speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you ready for your corny joke warning? Okay. Batten down the hatches. Lots of people think that the church is very similar to a giant helicopter. They're scared to get too close in case they get sucked into the rotors. You see? You get, hey, thank you, Mark. Excellent, excellent. Oh, and that's why I don't tell jokes very often. The start of this next 3 weeks commitment series, there's a risk, I think, for us to suddenly get commitment phobia. Many of us have arachnophobia, agoraphobia, all sorts of other phobias. And when we see bits of paper like this that you've all got a pack of, that if you haven't yet had, you will have hopefully by the end of this morning. When you see this and open it up and see all these bits of paper in there, you can suddenly think, oh my goodness, I might get sucked into the rotors. Goodness knows what will happen if I sign up. I could be signing my life away. And it feels a little bit like we're kind of part of an institution or organization and we never quite know what's going to happen. We may be sucked into all sorts of things that we really don't want to be. And at the start of these next 3 weeks, as we stop for our annual commitment series, as we reflect together on what it means to give ourselves back to God and to give our time and our talents and our treasure back to Him, I want to say at the very beginning that it's not about the bottom line on budgets. It's not about rotors, important as they are. It's not about rotors and making sure we've got ticks next to all of them and names on all of them. It's not about bits of paper and us as an institution and an organization. At the very heart of these next 3 weeks, at the very heart of this commitment series, is one word really. It's about family. It's about how we as a family share together and share the burdens and the privileges of being called to be a church under God. So when you read all these bits of paper that we're thrusting into your hands, and as you consider and think and pray over these next 3 weeks, how God might be calling you to respond, think of that word. Think of that word, family, because we together here this morning are a church family. Of course, the reality is that families aren't always easy, are they? For most of us, there are struggles sometimes, sometimes really serious struggles, sometimes just niggles. But being part of families isn't always straightforward. The old American comedian George Burns said, "Happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city." Sometimes it's great having a family if we can keep them at a safe distance, you know, and we can kind of access them when we want to access them. We don't get that option here together as a family. We are not at a distance from one another. We share life together with all of its joys and with all of its sometimes struggles. Desmond Tutu had a slightly more positive outlook on family life. He said, "You don't choose your family. They are God's gift to you as you are to them." Might not always feel like that, but that's the challenge. They are God's gift to you as you are to them. I'd just like you to turn around in your pews. Just look around. Eyeball the people next to you. They are God's gift to you. Oh, is that it? Really? Really? They are God's gift to you. But actually, yeah, even at the back, but actually even more important than that, you are God's gift to them. You are God's gift to them. And the challenge of these next few weeks, as we consider our commitment to God and our renewing our commitment to our church family, is how can we be God's gift to those people around us? How can we be God's gift to those in our families? Part of being a family, Alison's already talked this morning about how we say thank you to one another in being a family when a family functions well. And at the very beginning of this series, at the very heart of this commitment series of what it means for us to be a family, is thankfulness. And this morning's sermon was entitled A Thankful Community. I think it would be better for it to be called A Thankful Family. Because again, as we start the beginning of these next 3 weeks and consider as how we can actually be a blessing and a gift to one another, everything that comes out of us has to come from that place and that stance of thankfulness. That wonderful passage that we had read from 1 Chronicles, David's prayer as that temple is being dedicated to God. All of the splendor and the riches that David has shed to have that temple built, his prayer recognizes that it wasn't his anyway. It all came from God to begin with. And that has to be where we begin, where we start. That has to be the perspective that all of our responses come from. That gratitude and that thankfulness that everything we have is from God. Every time you draw breath, it's from God. Every moment of every day, the gift of time, that's from God. The beauty we saw as we came to church this morning, the incredible frost on the ground and the gorgeous views, it's from the Creator God. Whatever you have in the way of talents and skills, and yes, we all do have gifts. There is nobody here without gifts. It's from God. And yes, our financial resources too. It's from God. And David's prayer recognizes that, doesn't it? Everything is from you, he says, and of your own do we give you. So that perspective of thankfulness is absolutely vital and essential to everything that follows. Because it's only when we get that perspective right that we can truly give in the way that God calls us to give of our time and our talents and our treasure. And I think this is a particular challenge for us actually within the West, because we have a kind of entitlement culture, don't we? We have a kind of culture that says, I deserve it, you know, I'm worth it, the old L'Oreal advert or whatever it is. You know, I'm worth it. I deserve this. I am owed this. And I'm owed more and more and more. That's kind of the waters we swim in. So it's very countercultural, I think, to come from a different perspective and to say, well, actually, we are so thankful for everything that we have and everything that we are. I had an experience a few years ago when I went on a mission trip in my previous church to Burundi, and I was traveling around with a group. We were going to visit some of the rural schools that we were, as a group, supporting. And when we got to these schools that were literally kind of, you know, huts in the middle of nowhere, hundreds of pupils. They used to feed them lunch because that was the only meal that they would get when they were at the schools. That's what they would do. And they had virtually nothing. And we would turn up and meet all the students. Obviously, we were very excited to have visitors, and they would all run around the cars. And we used to take a gift with us, a very, very simple gift, because you couldn't take too much because it would be too overwhelming. It wouldn't be right. We took a simple gift of a football. I remember one school in particular. We arrived and all the children came running out. The head teacher came out and met us. And we gave him this football. And I remember him standing and holding this football up like this with this great big beam on his face. And the children all cheering. And he threw the football. And they all, like 200 or 300 of them, ran chasing this football. I thought, oh my goodness me, what's going to happen here? It's going to be a disaster. They were so incredibly grateful and thankful. And I was so humbled. I was thinking, my kids have got 4 footballs in the garden. There's only 3 of them. And they barely play with them. When we have little, we are often very, very thankful for what we have. When we're a people who have much, it's sometimes more difficult to have that perspective of thankfulness. We can forget what we have. I'll tell you another story about a lady in Australia, a young woman, this is in 2008, a young woman called Hayley Bartholomew found that she wasn't enjoying life. She just felt a bit flat. She described herself as feeling lost and stuck on a treadmill. It was almost explicable. She was married to a man she loved. She had beautiful children who'd held her heart. So why was she feeling so down about her life? Well, Hayley sought the counsel of a nun who advised her to spend some time each day reflecting on something for which she was grateful. Hayley began a project called 365 Grateful. Every day she took a photograph of something for which she was grateful. Changed her life. It allowed her to see things she'd never noticed. Hayley had always thought of her husband as unromantic. I'm sure there's none of those sorts of husbands here. So one day she took a picture of him serving up dinner. The thing which she was grateful for that day, she noticed for the first time that the largest portion of pie was placed on her plate. She realized that this was one small but profound way her husband showed his care for her. Hayley had found mothering a boring job, but as she took photos of her children holding out their hands to her, playing and exploring, she discovered how much joy and wonder there was in her world. Through the art of gratitude, Hayley found herself lifted out of her rut and celebrating life. It's about perspective, isn't it? We have so much. We just forget sometimes because we have so much. We need to step back and look at the different ways that God has blessed us and have that gratitude and recognize, as David said, it all comes from our good God, the maker and the giver of all good gifts. So that's where we start this three-week series. Gratitude. We are a thankful family. Often what families do when they sit down around a table together, which I think is so important for families to eat together, is we often pause, don't we, and we give thanks. We say grace for that meal. We're thankful in that sense. And as we gather around the table later on this morning, we give thanks when we come to that communion prayer, the Eucharistic prayer, the prayer of thanksgiving. It is right to give you thanks and praise. Yet it is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places. And that passage, that New Testament passage we had read, shows Jesus and that first time that he broke bread and shared wine and gave it that new significance of his body and his blood being shed and being given. That's the model that we go to for the ultimate in thanksgiving. We're so thankful to God for all of the things he gives us. But this is the ultimate thing that we thank God for as we gather around our family table. We receive from him. His body is broken for us. His blood is shed for us. We are fed by him and we receive from him. And when we are fed, we are then enabled to go out and to give of ourselves. You see, the pattern for this meal isn't just for Jesus. The pattern for this meal is for us. The challenge for us as Christians is how can we share ourselves in that sacrificial way? It has to come from being fed by Jesus, from that sense of thanksgiving that we have before him. How can we give of ourselves back to him again and follow the model that he laid down for us? The Eucharist, that prayer of thanksgiving, this meal of thanksgiving, is at the heart of our self-giving back to Christ, back to God. It's all countercultural, isn't it? The temptation for us is to say, what's in it for me? So when I
talk about one of the bits of paper in this pack, the Commitment Sunday. There's all sorts of different ways you can get involved. You can have opportunities to serve in the community, to serve in the church, to serve with children, young people, to serve in church on Sundays. Lots of different boxes that we can tick, and I really encourage you to consider this as a prayerful exercise, not a paper exercise. But the temptation is to say, what's in it for me? Can you put your hands up if you've served in some way in the church over however many years? Just put your hands up for a minute. That's great, isn't it? Loads of people. Does anybody want to say what they have gained from serving in the church? Anybody brave enough to say? Rosemary. Thanks, John.
A couple of years ago, I helped on the summer camp, and it was all about science. I've never done science, so it was all really exciting. And back in church here, you may remember when they exploded that lemonade bottle. Mm. Well, I've done that for friends because I just thought that was really cool. So I got a lot out of it, as well as my enjoyment was like the kids. We were like, oh, what happens when we do this? So that was a really nice thing.
Thank you very much, Rosemary. Anybody else want to share how they might have got something from serving Kim?
Many of you all know that for the last couple of years, Matthew and I have led the marriage course, 7-week course down in the Orchard, and it was something that we prayerfully decided that, you know, we'd been on it, it had meant a lot to us, we'd got a lot out of it, and we wanted to give something back, which was great, but what we didn't expect was that every time we run that course and we go through the evenings with the couples who are there, not only do we get closer to them, but we get so much closer to each other. Our marriage is so much richer for something that we thought we were doing for other people.
Yeah, thank you very much. Is there one more person that wants to share something? Looking around, Greg, thanks.
Yeah, I've done some work in the churchyard, haven't had that much time over the last couple of years, but when I have some time, and it's just such a beautiful place, and looking after it and making it look nice, and just being up here is, you know, it's very peaceful, and yeah, it gives you a bit of perspective on life.
Yeah, thank you very much. There's all sorts of other things that we could say about the things that we gain when we give, and there's this sort of strange reversal kind of law that goes on often, that often when we give, we gain so much more. But it's not about what we get. Jesus, when he gave himself, wasn't thinking about what he got. He was simply giving himself. And it's so important that we give ourselves, when we do this, in a way that's wholehearted, not in a sort of way of, the rector's asking us to do jobs again, you know? There can be that dynamic sometimes in families, can't there? You know, I've been guilty of it sometimes myself, when, you know, you know that there's a job that needs doing, and often something like the washing up. So you go into the kitchen, and you make a loud sort of bang, bang, bang. So, you're doing yes, I'm doing the washing up. You know, it's that sort of wanting to make it absolutely clear. And sometimes we can fall into that trap as a church family, that we can sometimes want to make it absolutely plain to everybody else that we're doing this and we're really good and we're doing it. So important that people don't feel that they're taking on more than the burdens that they should, that we share the burdens around. But we do it wholeheartedly. We don't do it with a sense of grumpiness. But it's a gift. We're doing it to serve one another, to serve God, to build up the church. I want to finish with one final story, because sometimes we can feel like, you know, us ticking one little box on here and doing one little job really isn't going to make any difference. So actually, it doesn't matter if we do or don't do it. It's just, you know, we haven't got many gifts. Often lots of us feel like that. Is it really going to make any difference? I don't know if anybody saw a news story a couple of weeks ago, an accident in central London, Walthamstow, I think it was. A cyclist went under a bus, happening more and more. And the cyclist was injured, and they needed to get the cyclist from under the bus, but he was literally trapped underneath the bus. And some of the bystanders saw what was going on, and they wanted to do something about it. And more and more of them shouted to others to come and help. And there were dozens of people who were pushing up against the bus to lift it to enable that person to be pulled out. Now, it wasn't easy, and it didn't happen immediately, but within maybe a minute, they had managed to have enough people to push that bus together collectively, and they pulled that person out who could then receive first aid and treatment. Now, on their own, if one of those people had been trying to push that bus, they wouldn't have got very far. But the collective effort of all of those people together meant that they were able to make something incredible happen. And as we, with thankfulness, thank God for everything he's given us, as we remember that everything's from him, as we gather around the family table later on this morning, we take that pose and that stance of thankfulness, but we do so knowing that as he calls us to do our small part, collectively, that can result in something really special happening. So don't think that whatever you offer to do is insignificant. It's not. It's really not. Let's pray. Just want to hold a moment's quiet as we consider what we've heard, as we perhaps just in the silence thank God. Maybe it's a while since we've done that. Maybe it's a while since we've taken a step back and tried to find that perspective and that stance of thankfulness for everything he has given us, for everything he's done for us, for giving himself to us. Let's just in the silence thank him. Lord, I thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you, that you are the giver of all things. As we consider in these next 3 weeks how we might give ourselves, our time, our talents, and our treasure back to you, we pray that you will help us to take a new stance of thankfulness, of gratitude, and that you'll help us to know what you're calling us to be and to do in this place. Thank you, Lord. Amen.